The Word in Glass. In our contemplation of the faceted glass windows of Lutheran Church of Our Savior and the theological significance found in each, we arrive at the window depicting the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the blessed sacraments that bear to us the life won for us. In its prominence, this window, in size and location, is equaled by none, except perhaps the window of invitation, the Come Unto Me window. The crucifixion window is the forwardmost window in the nave, or sanctuary, providing a dramatic, artistic, and relevant backdrop to the baptistry of Lutheran Church of Our Savior. The central prominence of the window likely doesn't surprise you. After all, the atoning, substitutionary, sacrificial death of the incarnate Son of God to pay in full for the sins of the entire human race is at the heart of the Christian faith. What you see depicted vividly reflects what the prophets prophesied as an event yet to occur, or the prophets, or rather the apostles proclaimed as an event having occurred. Jesus, our Lord, Paul writes, was delivered up for our trespasses. Our translation is the English Standard Version, and so hereafter. Paul writes elsewhere, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Again, St. Paul, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Peter writes, you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. It was Isaiah who wrote, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. Given the significance of the event for the redemption of humanity, should we wonder that the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthian Christians, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The figure of our Lord for us on the cross has a dual nature. On the one hand, it reminds us of the terrible effect of our sins, big and small. I caused the woes unnumbered with which your soul is cumbered, wrote the Lutheran hymnist Paul Gerhardt. Of course, we confess that we can justly lay claim to the afflictions of both body and soul visited upon Jesus Christ. But the same figure of our Lord for us on the cross also heartens us immeasurably, for he was there for you. It matters not who's listening to this devotional. He was there for you. To pay it all. All of it. So as you look on the figure of our Lord, obviously central to the window, you can think of him announcing the completion of your atonement. It is finished. The shaft of light and the vague image of the Spirit descending upon Jesus remind us that this was the gracious will of God the Father, and fully endorsed and supported by God the Spirit. Directly below the figure of our crucified Savior, note the clear words that proclaim what the window and the event is all about, the forgiveness of your sins. Apart from that forgiveness, nothing else of this life finally matters. That's why it's of the utmost importance that by faith in Jesus, one is in the light, like the malefactor on the left, and not in the darkness of unbelief. An interesting note about the piece of glass that depicts the head of the malefactor in the darkness, casting his head off to your right. If I recall correctly, and I think I do, the artist noticed that fragment of glass early on as he was sifting through many fragments, and he saved that one for the very use you see. The scripture provides no indication that the malefactor who hurled insults at Jesus with the other who would come to faith and be remembered in Jesus' kingdom. Scripture provides no indication that the first malefactor I spoke of here ever repented. The Scripture does say, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. See him depicted. Jesus is your Savior. The gift purchased must be delivered. Prominently featured in the window, then, also are the blessed sacraments of holy baptism and the Lord's Supper. Along with the gospel spoken and read, these are the means of grace. In accord with the testimony of Scripture, which reports that blood and water issued forth from the pierced side of Jesus, notice the blue water and the red blood depicted issuing forth from his side. I tell you, if you've ever seen this window in the early morning, it beams with the rising sun behind it, and so do these droplets of water and blood. Maintaining their distinction, they trickle down the vertical beam of the cross, and just above the monumental words at the base of the window, they flow in respective directions, the water to the right and the blood to the left. For ages, many believers have seen in the water and blood figures of baptism and the supper, both of which have been instituted for the forgiveness of sins. The baptismal waters flow to the right. Notice the stream of water, the baptismal shell, the dove, the form by which the Spirit descended upon Jesus at his baptism, and the words of Paul from Romans, baptized into his death. Did you know that when there's water in the baptismal font, if you're standing at the right angle, you can see the image of the crucified Savior reflected in the water of the baptismal font? How fitting. The depicted blood of the New Testament flows to the left, towards the chalice and host above it, and the words given and shed for you. How appropriate that for almost 25 years, countless Christians have approached the table of our Lord in view of the image seen here. Two more points worth considering. Firstly, the window features many shades of orange and yellow besides the evident blues and red. This chosen color palette artistically ties the hues and tones of the window to the majestic mural in the front of the sanctuary of Lutheran Church of Our Savior. Secondly, notice the foliage. Have you been tracking it as we've progressed through the series of windows thus far? The foliage in the background began in thick and rich tones of lively green. But look at it now. Moving from the right to the left of the window, the signs of life in the foliage seem to be gone. No leaves remain. But you know, dear Christian, what happened on the third day. Relish the magnificence and the meaning of this marvelous window.